Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everyone to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove. And unfortunately, as I record this episode, Jason's not available as a byproduct of all our loyal listeners will know that he got quite sick and he still has some maintenance work that he has to get done a couple times a week. So he was not able to get done with that in time to join us, but he's excited to hear. I told him a little bit about our guest that we have tonight, and he's pretty excited to hear this episode. So he'll get to be a fan just like you guys. So I just want to remind everybody that if you do have a story or a sighting, whether it's a ghost, a UFO, a dog man, a angry troll, or a Bigfoot, you know, whatever it is, and you want to share it with us, you can find us on Facebook at the From the Shadows podcast page or our forum page, which is After the Shadows. Or you can find me on Instagram at Shane Grove Author or the From the Shadows Instagram page. And the easiest way is just go to our website, www.fromtheshadowspodcast.com. Go to the contact link, send us an email, and I will get back a hold of you. The guest that we have tonight, I feel fortunate that I came across this gentleman's story on a Bigfoot forum and reached out to him, and I got to have a nice conversation with him and hear about his experience. And it's so good that we had to have him on, and I feel blessed that he agreed to come on. So welcome to the program, Dave.
Thank you.
Now don't be nervous. It's, you know, the spotlight's on you. Don't be nervous. It's okay.
Okay. All right.
So Dave, let's just get right into your encounter. Kind of tell everybody when it took place, where it took place, and just like we talked, kind of set up the area and, you know, the weather and stuff, and what happened. Sure. With your encounter.
Sure. It was me and my two brothers decided to do a hunting trip in 2005 in the Sawtooth Mountains of Idaho. We have hunted in this area quite often, so we knew the terrain and the mountains, and we decided to take a week off, which was the end of October, the last week of October. And, the ultimate hunting for us was to have a lot of snow drop down on us. We were camped at 6,000 feet. And, the peaks around us were anywhere from 8 to 9,000 feet high. And, the more snow that dumps down on you, the deer will come piling out and in single file, and you have a good chance of getting a mule deer buck. But, it was just towards the end of the week, there's a big storm coming in, and we were really excited because you could tell it was going to dump some snow, and we had heard that it was a big storm coming off the West Coast. So that mean at least a foot and a half to 2 feet up, way up high above 6,000. So there was a little bit of snow up there to begin with during the week, but not enough to move the animals around. So anyway, that morning, I mean, I was up early and I needed to get to a spot where I wanted to hunt. My two brothers, they had their little special place they wanted to go, and it was all separate. We had radios, but we never used them unless it was an emergency to talk to each other. So, you know, it was keep quiet, and if you hear a shot, then hopefully somebody would get on the radio and need some help to come help pack one out. But that day was, with the wind was blowing and the snowing, but real hard. So it was difficult to hear a lot of things going on. But anyway, I hunt in this area. I call it the bowl. And you can imagine a bowl that's like up to 1,500, you know, yards wide and in diameter. And my goal was to get to the top of this bowl and look into it. And the deer, they like to come out of that high country, and they come down into that bowl and meander their way out down through the creek, which leads to a bigger creek and a river. But anyway, it's one of the starting points of this area. So I got up there before daylight, which is what I wanted. And it was a long walk. I mean, from 6,000 to 8,000 feet into the snow at that time where I was at was just under the kneecap probably. So I was pushing snow with my legs. It was getting tiring. I was stopping all the time. But anyway, as the sun was rising, I was peeking up over the top, and it just, everything was completely white. And I mean, anything that's moving, you're going to see it, you know. If the deer was with a 1,000 yards away, you'd see a deer move, because the trees were completely white, rocks were covered, stumps were covered. There wasn't anywhere where there wasn't any snow. I mean, even under the trees there was snow because of the wind was blowing the drifts, and it wasn't a wet snow, it was a dry snow. So anything that was walking through the snow, you wouldn't be able to tell what it was, because the snow would just cover it right back up as you were walking through it. But got up there on top of that ridge of the bowl and was looking at it, and I seen something that was across from me about 600 yards from one of the hogbacks that comes down from that bowl. And well, it caught my eye pretty quick, because it was black and was sticking out in the open. It, to me, my first thought, it was a bear sitting there, and it was awfully big to be a bear just with the naked eye. So I'd put the binoculars up to it, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing at that time. This thing was way bigger than a bear, and it was sitting on its butt with his knees up, you know, like just like a human would be, and his arms were rested on his knees. And I mean my first thought is, what the hell is this? You know, I was brought up to, you know, I don't look for Bigfoot. I don't say that I don't believe in them. I've heard a lot of stories, but I just don't go out looking for them. That wasn't my thing. And, you know, Dad had raised us three boys to, you know, to hunt for deer, elk, and the animals that you can eat. And we never once come across anything like this during my bringing up. So it was a complete startle for me. I wanted to get on the radio and tell my brothers, but when I was crossing one of the creeks, I dumped my radio in the water, so it wasn't working. And so I couldn't tell anybody what was going on, and I didn't want to move. I was laying down at this in the snow at the time of the top of that ridge, and I just sat there and watched him for a long time. It seemed like an eternity, which it was. This thing was looking down the hill, so it was facing sideways to me, and you could, I mean, just looking at it through the binoculars at 500 yards away, is you can see every feature on this thing. And it was just amazing just to see it sitting there. And I mean, my hunting deer just stopped right there. I was in tune to watching this creature, you know, on the side of the hill looking down. And so I didn't know what to do. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to play this one out. I'm going to watch it and see what it does. And every once in a while, it would turn its head towards me, and the wind was coming up from the canyon, going up into the bowl, blowing right at it, and the wind would blow the hair back out of its face. And boy, I tell you what, the hair would make you stand up on the back of your head just looking at this thing's face. I mean, the mouth was looked like he could swallow a grapefruit, or at least get it in its mouth pretty easy. The nose on it was big. The eyebrows, or the above the eyes, stuck out. It was really, I don't know, stuck out enough to where it looked like a guy with a brim hat, kind of, but not quite that far out. I mean, that's over exaggerating, but at least you know that he had some kind of an indentation there at the forehead, and his eyes were a mean looking, you know. It looked like it was a very intense creature looking down from where it was sitting. And and that would turn his head the other way, and the hair would blow around its face. It had long hair from the side of the head down to its shoulders. You could tell it had a neck, but not much of one until it turned its head. And I could see the throat on this thing. You could see it swallow. It had something in its mouth, and it would take its finger and go inside and move something around. I don't know what it was chewing on, or if it was trying to get something caught between its teeth or something. I watched it do that for a while. It would flip it out, and it yawned on me. It had a great big old yawn. I mean, that mouth was as big as your hand. And, I'd often, when I came back and told my brothers about this, I never went into a lot of details, and they never really asked. They did believe me, but, you know, the whole thing was is that the details really stuck into with me the more and the longer I thought about everything that was going on. I estimate I was watching it for at least 2 hours. And I mean, I was so amazed by what it was doing and how it was acting. I know that there was no other hunters up there, because we were all alone down below where we were camped. And I did wonder how somebody could get up there so quick when I did see it the first time, and I knew it wasn't a bear. I figured, you know, how could anybody get up here this quick, and why would they wear a ghillie suit? I mean, a lot of things went on through my mind when I first seen this thing, and I had no intentions of really, I guess, firing a gun at it, because it was senseless. I didn't even think about it. But I know at one time that It might have been a good idea to do that just to see it get up and walk away, maybe. But I got this idea that, you know, this thing didn't know I was there. And he had no idea was there. And so this whole time I'm thinking, you know what, I can sneak up on this thing. And that's what I planned on doing. So, you know, I wasn't scared of it. I wasn't, I might have been a little worried, but I was not scared at all. And it wasn't because I had a gun. It was just because I had the advantage of sneaking up on it. It didn't know I was there. The only problem I had to make sure was during the time I was sneaking up that I wasn't, you know, in the wind from it, that it would smell me. I had a couple of windows of opportunity because the clouds would come up from the bottom, I guess, or fog banks would come up every once in a while, and you couldn't see anything after that. You couldn't see 10 feet in front of you when it got to that point. But so I decided on the next fog bank, I was going to get off the top of this ridge, run down into the bowl, and come back up on the other side of him. And it took me about an hour to do that. And that's what I did. I got into the snow and I got around him, and I knew exactly where I needed to be to come out at, where I would be within 60 yards of him. And I knew if that was any other animal, it would be there unless something spooked it out of there, you know, right? So I got there, and it took me, like I said, an hour to get up over the side of it. And I peeked up over some rocks just to barely, you know, just to look to see if it was there. The wind was right. So I know it couldn't have smelled me, but it was gone. It wasn't there. Was completely gone. And so I thought to myself, you know, I'm not gonna peek up over the top of this rock outcropping too much. I'm just gonna sit here and look around me, make sure that it didn't get up and go to another place and sit down. I did that for about an hour, and then finally I peeked up over the hill a little bit more and watched the area. I glassed out through the trees and stuff. I'd seen where it had been sitting. I seen where it had looked like it walked away back into the tree. So I knew it was in the tree somewhere, but I didn't know where. I sat there for another hour waiting for it. And I thought, you know, it's got to be there somewhere. He's there. Maybe he got curious and seen me, but I highly doubt it. I mean, these were weather conditions that every hunter, around here loves, is a fresh snowstorm with fresh tracks, and the deer won't move until it's all stopped. And then pretty soon all the animals will start coming out, and the chipmunks and the birds will start out. And then you got more problems because you got more animals walking around trying to tell the rest of them, you know, that there's a human out here. Right. So, anyway, I decided to walk closer to this area, and I couldn't, for life of me, I see nothing. But down below where this thing was looking that whole time, there was 5-headed deer down there. They were probably 80 yards from him or her, whatever you want to call it. Deer looked like they'd been sitting there all night because of the storm. They had pretty much packed down all the snow around them. So it didn't look like that they were scared at all. And with this Bigfoot, I guess, being gone, I decided I wasn't going to go tramping down through the snow after it and follow its tracks. I didn't really want to. I wanted to keep hunting, was just what I wanted to do for myself. I just didn't see the point of going after it. It was enough for me just to see it the way it was, out in the wilderness like that. And so after I seen the deer, I thought, well, there's a buck somewhere around here, because they're all sitting in one spot waiting for the buck to come along. And so I'd sit in there for a little bit longer and watch these deer. And I tried to walk around them, and they must have smelled me at the time, because then they decided to take off, and they went up the hill diagonally across from where that Bigfoot had went. And so I got to the top of the ridge, and the deer must have, well, there was a buck on top of that ridge, but he already seen me and he took off. So then I think the rest of the deer took off, but I did try following them for a lot longer. The whole time I kept thinking, you know, why was this thing there? And how come I'd never seen it before? I've hunted this area, you know, enough to know the area real well and know where I was at. And I don't know. There's a lot of unanswered questions, but I originally got on this site to find out if there'd been any other hunters or outdoorsmen that have been in this area where I could exchange stories, and maybe they had come up with the same thing. But, you know, obviously I haven't gotten an answer from anybody yet. But anyway, on my way out, it was getting a little late, but just walking out on a trail, heading back towards camp. I was probably an hour away from camp. And I noticed something was following me, kind of. You could tell. You'd hear the tree limbs break off of a tree. And that was unusual to me, because I kept turning around looking to see what that was. I figured it wasn't a deer. I figured it was a herd of elk, and they wanted out of there, and I was in their way, is what I thought at first. But then you could hear the sound of feet hitting the ground, and then I knew it was close. And so I'd turn around and stand there for a while. I mean, I stood there in a place where this thing would have to come out and come at me, and it never did. It never would. It just stayed far enough away from me to where I couldn't see it. It was kind of, I guess, at that point, it was getting a little scary to me. I could tell it wanted me out of there. It didn't want me to be there anymore. I mean, I'd turn and walk away, and it would break another limb to let me know. I'm thinking it was letting me know that, hey, I'm still here, you know.
To keep walking. It is to make sure you kept on walking.
Yeah. So it was a cat and mouse game. And this time he had the upper hand. He knew I was there, but how long did this thing know I was there? That's my question. How did it know that? It must have seen me, I guess, when I got to where it was sitting at. I'm thinking it was the same one. Sometimes I believe there was more than one, because that thing was gone when I got there. I mean, I've done a lot of archery hunting. I've called in a lot of animals. I know how the wind is. I know how the animals react. I know I've been hunting for over 40 some years. So I've been in this situations before with animals, but never something like this. And it just, even a bear, you know, you could sneak up on a bear, and a bear has got one of the best noses there is. But if the wind is right and the weather is right, and you have the opportunity, you can sneak up on just about any animal if you know it's there and they don't know you're coming, you know. But that is just it, is knowing that you have the upper hand and you know the animal's there. and you know what to do and you're good at it, you know, you can do those things. But I did have the opportunity, and I just don't understand how it could have not, how it knew I was coming. It had to have known I was coming. There was no reason, because the deer were still there. The deer were still there down the bottom. And if this thing likes to eat deer, it was waiting for an opportunity. Maybe there was another one circling in it or something. The deer, I have all these unanswered questions because I listen to a lot of people talk, a lot of hunters talk about their situations. So anyway, I hit it out down the trail, and it did the same thing all the time. And it got to the point where, you know, okay, I'm leaving. I pulled out my flashlight because it was dark, and I didn't see no beady eyes, and I didn't see, but I knew he was there. He was still breaking branches. Like, I mean, it was almost like he was there. These tree branches on the bottom of these pine trees are dead. And I know as soon as you grab one and pull it down, it makes a certain noise. It wasn't being hit against a tree, because that's a different noise of a tree limb breaking, right? Because, like, you know, like a bat hitting a tree, yeah, versus breaking one off the tree. So he was breaking them off the tree. And, you know, and then to top it all off, I couldn't get a hold of my brothers. My radio was dead. So I walked on out, and I think when I got to within, I don't know, a couple hundred yards of the camp, I'd never heard nothing of it. But I got back down to camp, and, you know, I had a shot of whiskey, which made me feel a little warm because I was pretty cold there for a while. But, you know, I did tell my brothers about the story, and they believe me. They do. And every once in a while, we'll talk about it again, and I'll tell them about certain things that happened. And they would say, well, why didn't you tell us that? You know, why didn't you tell us that part? Why didn't you tell me that part? He said, that's awesome. You know, I mean, we went back up that area that next day. You could see the tree limbs that were broken. I never mentioned that before, but you could see the tree limbs where they were broke. And some of them were high enough you couldn't reach it. You couldn't reach them. And we weren't looking high enough. At first, we were just looking at ones that were where we could reach. And my brother mentioned it earlier that well, there's one clear up there broke. Looks like it was a freshly broke tree limb. I said, wow. You know, I never got to see how tall this thing was, but I got to see how big it was when it was sitting down. And it was way bigger than a bear sitting on its butt, you know, at 500 yards away. Because I kind of knew it wasn't a bear when I first seen it with the naked eye, but I didn't know for sure. But, you know, this thing had character. This thing had a personality, just like your dog or like your pet. You know, it has a it had a personality, but when it yawned, it must have been up all night, what I was thinking. It must have been watching these deer all night, waiting for an opportunity, or maybe it just wasn't hungry and thought, here's my chance at something, and I'm not going to kill one of those deer right now. I don't know. I'm just trying to think for it, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of little things that happen that make me really believe that this thing was really a Bigfoot. I'd never really wanted to tell this story until the last 3 years since 2019 to like I am right now. I mean, I don't even tell my best friend because I'm afraid of the ridicule, you know, but
well, I mean, listen, there's thousands of people right now that have just heard you tell the story. and they think you are probably one of the luckiest people they've heard, because I'm going to tell you, I have not heard of too many people that had the opportunity to sit there for that long and observe, you know, one of these creatures and really get to study it, you know, like the detail, you know, like the, you know, what the face looked like and the hair, and, you know, sit there and watch it in a situation where it doesn't know you're watching it. That's the amazing thing is because I do feel like a lot of the stories we hear is these things, unless you catch it totally by surprise, it only lets you see it if it wants you to see it, you know? And just like you said, if you knew it was following you out of the woods, but you still couldn't see it. And, you know, you kind of ask out loud, you know, why hadn't you ever seen this before? Well, had you been up in this area under the same weather conditions before?
Absolutely not. Absolutely okay. Not.
To me, that's maybe why you saw it, because it struck such a striking difference to the surroundings that it stuck out like a sore thumb, for lack of a better term. You know, like it blend. Typically, you know, what people say is they blend in so well with their surroundings that they're hard to see. And I mean, maybe you just right time, right place, and the right conditions to allow you to see it. So did it ever cross your mind then how many other times you'd been up there and didn't know that it was probably watching you or knew you were there?
Yeah, it did. It made me wonder a lot, because there's a lot of area up there that, you know, a lot of people don't go into. There's no trail up there. There's trails down below, but only there's no high mountain lakes in that area. So there's really no reason for a person to go up there other than a miner. A miner would go up there in search of gold to try to pan for. I've seen that, but there's no other reason, and that's why there's so many deer up there, because they're away. But I mean, I've learned from experience of hunting this area where the deer will come down at, and why they come down through there, and when they come down through there. And obviously this Bigfoot knows the same thing. It's his house. It's his, you know, it's his country. Yeah. You know, he knows. He knows too. So, which is really weird, because I should have seen a lot of deer sitting in that bowl that morning, and I didn't. But I sat there, you know, for 2 hours watching this thing, and I didn't cross any tracks when I was sneaking up on this thing. And I walked clear through that bowl just about and come up from the side of the hogback and from behind him. And, you know, obviously this thing thought the same way I did. It had to have. It, maybe this wasn't his home. Maybe this, he was coming from another area. But yeah, I've always thought, you know, this thing obviously knows the area well. It's been up there. So he knew where to go, you know, and maybe there isn't a lot of human people, I guess, up there or walking around. There's no reason for people to be up there. So it probably feels safe, I guess, and that's probably why it pushed me out. You know, you listen, I don't want you here. I'm not going to show you who I am, but that's another question in my mind here is he obviously, if I just come walking from that trail and I didn't even go the route I took, let's just say I walked up that trail early in the morning and then walk back the trail that I come back on, would that thing really have tried to push me out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'd have taken another route to go hunting that morning,
would your experience have been different than like somebody else, like a lot of other people's experience where?
When he was just sat on the top of the ridge and watched me walk by. So he's seen me somehow. He's seen me somewhere up there. I know he did. He had to have seen me. I just don't know how he did it. I don't know.
Well,
there was two of them.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm not a hunter. I'm not hanging out in terrain like that. So I'm trying to use my imagination. Like, you know, an hour to me, that's a long time moving around from one spot to the next, even through like deep snow. So it's like, man, that's a lot of time to be basically exposed to it, or if it's had a buddy out there to see you. I mean, that's the only thing I can figure is that, you know, that time was more than long enough for it to, you know, it or another one to see you, you know, and then, and then alert them and let them get out of there, you know. But the deer obviously did not. Now, did the deer not move because they didn't see you either? Or do you think they just didn't move because they knew that thing, even though it got up and walked from its spot, it was still sitting there in the wood line, but it was close enough to get them?
I think they smelled me. But when I was above them where that Bigfoot was, they didn't know I was there. I mean, you can look straight down on them. You're at the grade from where he was sitting to down to where it was steep. Steep enough to where you could have got on your butt and slid down to them.
Holy moly, okay.
On your butt. So that's how steep it was. And me as a hunter, I would have probably pushed him out of the creek. If there was a buck there, I would have pushed him out of the creek and made him go upside the hill and then took a shot at him. I would have, that way I didn't have to haul him out of that creek. But maybe that's what he was thinking too. But from what I understand, they can just carry him on the side of their.
Yeah. Their, that's what it seems like. So he was 500 yards away from you, like across this thing. But how much up? How much higher up than him were you?
When I first seen him, I was probably, I couldn't been no more than 50 yards higher than he was. I was looking down on him a little bit, but not a whole lot. So, I mean, with the naked eye, in that terrain and the snow and everything, it was easy to spot. It was just one look through everywhere, and you seen something that just didn't look right out in the middle of the snow. And you know, he had to have been between us. There was a bunch of trees, and I would say the trees were closer to me than they were him. He was out in the middle, like a sore thumb, like you were saying. It was just, that's what I couldn't believe, is why this thing is stuck out in the open like that. It is, I thought these things were really smart, you know, from what I've learned, but they are. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying that's why I believe I'd got the upper hand on it. I just knew it didn't see me. And if it did, and I didn't want to shoot my gun, yeah, if I'd have shot my gun, it obviously would have moved. it would turn his head and look at me, and found a way to get out of there before. But I had no intentions of doing that, because I think my first thought was, I want to see how close I can get to this thing. I want to get close to it. I want it to see me sneak up on it. I wanted to come up on top of that rocky little cliff that I came up on within 60 yards away. I wanted to see it really close. And then my plan was just to stand up there and stare right at it. But that didn't happen, you know, but that's what I wanted. I don't carry a camera. I do now. I carry a camera that I put in my sock and my backpack, so it'll keep warm, and that way the battery don't die in it. I mean, I can't afford no high-tech camera of any sort, but I can carry one with me that I know will take good pictures for me. But at the time, I had no use of taking a camera. I mean, you know, if I shoot a nice animal, I just take it back to camp and show it off to my brothers. You know,
I don't know if you said the year, but this was like what, 2005, right?
Yeah.
So this was long before probably everybody really had cell phones on them all the time. And
yeah,
to take pictures and video and stuff, because there's probably somebody out there in their car smacking the dashboard going, why didn't you take video? Why didn't you take video? You know, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, it's before the time. Although, I mean, I don't want to make you feel bad. You probably could have taken the best video and pictures ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but
all the time I do. I think about it all the time.
But it's you know? Funny. It's funny, though. It's like ever since the Patterson-Gimlin film, it's almost like these things kind of made a deal with the universe. Like, you know what? We'll leave people alone, but universe, you can't let them get a good picture or video of us.
And yeah.
You know,
I've kind of sensed that, and just listening to other people talk, and the thing is, I have a cell phone. I even my camera, but there's no way in heck you're going to get a good picture of a bull elk coming right at you, and you're going to have time to pull out a camera and start taking a picture of it unless you've already got it on. You know, there's guys out there that have their cameras already on, and they film some really good pictures of bull elk coming in because they're bugling and everything, but they know what's going to happen, right? Well, when you're out doing what I did, you don't know when, you know, this creature is going to come out from behind a rock or a tree. And unless your camera's on 24/7, right? I mean,
yeah.
And then I think you're going to have good pictures. I've never seen good pictures, but I know they're there. I know there's guys that wish they would have had a camera, then turn around and say, well, if I had a camera, it probably wouldn't have been a very good picture to begin with.
Yeah, because I think that's probably the last thing. I mean, when you run into something that's not really supposed to be there, I think the first reaction is, ooh, I need to save my butt, not get a good picture. I mean, if you walk around the corner and there's a bear sitting there, is that the first thing you're going to think of? Oh, I need to take a picture of this. Nobody's going to believe on my Instagram story that this that this bear was there. Like, you know, no, you're thinking, I got to get out of here. I got to make sure that I don't get caught. Or, and the other thing I thought as you were telling this is, it's probably a good thing your radio was not working, because if you'd have got on it to call your brothers, I can't believe that thing wouldn't have heard you talking.
Probably, you know, so.
Because that wouldn't have been, I mean, it's probably so tuned to the noises and stuff and the sounds of nature that anything that wasn't something it was used to would have probably most definitely got its attention immediately and gave your position away and gave that you were, that you were even there away. So, well, I mean, I think this story is so amazing because of the opportunity that you had to sit there and really, really look at this thing and study it. I mean, I think that is, it's probably one of the most amazing stories I've heard in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, the opportunity for me was putting the binoculars up to it and watching it turn its head, and the wind blowing the hair out of its face, you know, and it was just like, what the hell is this thing doing here? Where did that come from? What is that? That almost looks like a hairy guy sitting up there and with a great big huge nose and a mouth. It, you know, it was just huge. My gosh, the head was the size of a basketball or better. I'm pretty sure. And I didn't see no ears on it at all. I couldn't tell that it had ears, but, it just acted like a person, but it acted like a person with a lot of patience because it sat in that snow. And I know it had to been cold because I was cold, but I was dressed for it. You know, I was dressed to lay in the snow. I knew I was in the snow and I was going to be in a blizzard. I knew I was where I was going and I was going to most likely be sitting down or laying down this whole time watching all the animals come through this bowl. So I wasn't prepared to build a fire or anything. I was just prepared to shoot a deer and call my brothers and we'd come get it out, you know, drag it out down the trail. But that didn't happen. None of that happened. It just, I just keep seeing that you watch something for 2 hours and it's glued inside my part of my brain and my wife gets tired of hearing it. And she goes, you need to talk to somebody. And okay.
So you've lived with this for quite a while and thought about it. If you went hunting and the same exact circumstance happened, what would you do differently? If anything?
I don't know that I would do anything differently. I figured I took the best way possible. The only other, my second choice was I was going to fire a gun, just to fire the gun, not at it, but just to see it get up and move. But two things would have happened. Yeah, it would have got up and moved. But then so would all the deer. If there was any deer around, I would not have a chance to shoot a deer. So, you know, I live off deer. So that was hard to make that decision. Should I see the ultimate thing and watch this thing get up and walk or run or come at me or disappear into the woods and never see it again? Or should I, because of the conditions of the weather that were in my favor, and I was higher than like your ass, but it, to me, it didn't matter, but the wind was in my favor. There was no chipmunks out. There was no birds chirping. There was no alarms for this thing to hear that a human was close by. All the alarms were tucked away inside their little holes, and the birds were in their tree and everything was hidden. They were all waiting. Even the deer were in there down in the creek getting away from this storm. And as soon as it was over, then it was everything was going to come back to life, you know. And I wanted to get to this point on the other side of this Bigfoot before the weather changed too much. I needed that fog bank to come in. I needed it to be cold. I needed it to keep snowing off and on so I could get around it. And that's what puzzles me, is I did everything in the book, but didn't work out Right. But I did get to see this thing for 2 hours, probably. And it was quite an amazing deal. It was to me. It just, you know, like I said, it was like watching like Bigfoot sitting there passing the time of day watching deer and doing what they do, I guess. I don't know what they do.
Well, now you know. Now you know what they feel like when they see you out there hunting.
Yeah.
You know, they probably sit and have watched you and your brothers do the same thing, you know, yawn, you know, scratch their head, you know, look around.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have to say, the fact that you said you couldn't decide whether you to stay and watch that, the one of Earth's greatest mysteries, or scare off the deer because you wanted to shoot a deer, I would have to say that's probably a sign of a true hunter right there, that you were still. I don't know how I can fit that on a t-shirt to say I'm the world's greatest hunter because I, you know, whatever. Couldn't decide whether to scare.
Well, there's another factor there too, and that's the misses here. You know, I spend so much money for gas and food to go up somewhere, and I sneak the bottle of whiskey up there, you know, to have a drink or two, but I can only spend so much money, and I better come back with something because, you know, we need to feed the kids, the family. So,
well, look, there's people out there that will hear this and think, you know, screw the deer. You could have shot that thing and you could have fed a lot of, you know, money you could have, fame and fortune. But then who knows? Maybe you'd have shot it and a black helicopter would have come up over the next mountain and a government. Some government agents would have, you know, tied a rope around it and took off with it and said, you never saw anything, you know?
Yeah. So where would I be then? There'd be no deer in that whole area after that.
Exactly. There was a couple other things I wanted to ask. I mean, so the thing was just jet black, or did it appear black from across there, or was it a different color a little bit when you got to look at it through the binoculars?
Well, it was black. There might have been some brown around its shoulders, but for the most part, it was the skin was black. His face, where there was no hair, his cheeks was black. Eyebrows were really a dark looking mess up there, and the back of his head was all matted and black. I didn't notice. There might have been a brown tint on there somewhere on maybe the ends of the hairs, probably. But for the most part, it was a dark color all the way around. He looked like he had his winter coat on to me, you know. I'm just saying, it had a lot of hair on it, and you know, but you know, you could see the muscles on his below his knee. You could see it on his calf. You could tell, you know, when he raised his arm and put his finger in his mouth to pull something out, whatever it was. Or it was lodged in his teeth. I mean, you could, his elbows would, it reminded me, when I seen that right there, it reminded me of a 350-pound lineman playing football, sitting there on the bench with the shoulder, with the pads on and everything. I mean, just pure muscle sitting there, and I wouldn't want to mess with it, you know. I just... That's what I thought, is, geez, that thing is huge. Just look how you couldn't even get two hands around that thigh. There's just no way. Yeah, or four hands. This guy's huge. He's just.
I mean, I played college football with some guys that ended up in the NFL, and you know, they were freaks of nature. Okay. And, but everything, you know, you're talking like 6'5 guys that were 285 and nothing but muscle. And I know firsthand what those guys can do face to face, you know, what they can do to you on a football field, or even just messing around in the locker room. I can't wrap my head around what something a foot bigger than that and twice, you know, 200-300 pounds more than that could do. Like, so I'm just like letting anybody out there know that's listening that has never been around guys like that, you know, are of the professional athletic variety. You're not going to do anything to that animal that's that big, no matter what you think. And I don't know that a gun, because some of these guys came from backgrounds where I'm pretty sure they've been shot or stabbed maybe once or twice, and that never stopped those guys
either. Right. You wouldn't even want to put a gun at them. So,
yeah. You know. So I'm not sure what any animal that size could. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like. I just feel like you're
been thinking something. I don't know what it was thinking, but.
So you're pretty much in the camp that. It was flesh and blood sitting there. It was an animal of some sort, but that it wasn't all animal. Like, I think from talking to you, you think it had some sort of a little bit more of intelligence than just a bear or something like that sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've come to that conclusion, you know, partly when I was sitting there watching it in the snow, I could tell it just the way it moved its head. And there was sometimes it moved its head and it did a double take, like it thought it seen something and turned its head back and looked again, but it wasn't looking at me. It was looking at a different location, you know. And so I would point the binoculars over in that area to see what was going on, because I was hoping to see another one, is what I was hoping. If I did see another one, I would not have done what I've done. I would have probably stood up and made myself visible in front of it at 500 yards away and let it see me from that distance, and then probably got out of there. But I didn't know that there was two of them. And I, at this point in time, I kind of think there was, but I can't prove it. I can't prove that there was two of them or three of them. I just know there was one of them, but the way it acted, I just has some unanswered questions, because I've been in the mountains a long time, and this thing, you know, it acted, it had similarities of a person sitting in one spot for a long time, but it just done things. That, I mean, I've seen animals yawn. I've seen dogs yawn. This thing yawned. So that to me wasn't too bad. But when it yawned, it didn't lift its arms above its legs or anything like that. It just reached back with a big old yawn, like it'd been up all night because of the storm. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they don't sleep. I have no idea. But it putting its finger in its mouth because something was in there. I've never seen any animal do that, or maybe a monkey will do that. I don't know. I've never,
like never a gorilla, seen. Like a gorilla or something. Maybe.
They'll take something, I think, and maybe make a twig or something. But this thing had something lodged in its teeth, and I think it bothered it, is what it was doing. It bothered it, and it was. It got to the point where it would take its finger and go in there and try to move it out or whatever it was trying to do. And to me, if I was doing it, it's because I had eaten popcorn and there was a kernel stuck back in there and I couldn't get the damn thing out. And so to me, that's what I was thinking when I seen it do that. It was had something like that lodged in there and it couldn't get it out. But that great big feature of a mouth I'm sure there you could pile a lot of food in there, but you'd have to, as big as that thing was. And the stomach on it was, I mean, you couldn't, it had so much hair, but it was huge. It didn't have breasts that I could see. And so it looked like a male to me, as far as I'm concerned. I seen the one on the Patterson-Gimlin film. This one didn't have breasts, as far as I can tell.
Are you just saying that because your wife is listening and you don't want to get in trouble?
No. No, I was going to joke around about it, but I thought I better not. Don't want to get yelled at on the radio.
Oh, man. But, well, you guys then went back up the next day, so this has never really stopped you from continuing to do what you've wanted to do as far as hunting then, huh?
No, it has not, because it didn't want to harm me. It just wanted to scare me, and it wouldn't show me itself. It didn't want me to see it. And so I felt like, okay, you don't want to show yourself. I've been standing here long enough, because I did stand there long enough and waited for it to come at me. I stood up on a rock and I waited for it to come out in the open. I mean, it got to the point where I was late getting back to camp, and my brothers were kind of like, well, where you been? And I said, well, have I got the story of all stories? And so that's when I sat down and told them a little bit. But anyway, I just stood there and waited for it to come out, and it didn't want to. I knew at that point that it just didn't want me there. But I figured if I come back the next day with two more guys, that it wasn't going to be around. It probably seen us walking up the trail, because that's the fastest way up to where I was at, was taking a trail. And it's a horse trail, you know. It isn't some kind of a trail where you might think you can drive a four-wheeler up. You can't do that. It's steep and treacherous and nasty, and with the snow, you couldn't even take a motorcycle through there at that distance. So it's possible, but with a motorcycle. But yeah, like I said, the trees were the limbs were busted. It didn't pick up anything and throw it at me. It didn't pick up rocks and throw, because that never happened. And I don't know why. And so listening to all these other stories where people get rocks thrown at them, it makes me wonder that this thing wasn't trying to hurt me. It just didn't want me there. I think it knew at the one time that I was watching it. I think it probably realized that I was watching it. And when I come around, it wondered how I got so close to it. But and somehow it disappeared. And so that's what I believe inside, but I can't prove any of this. I can only tell you guys that's how I feel. I'm pretty good on my feelings when it comes to things like that up in the mountains and stuff. I mean, I've seen a lot of things. So, I mean, the only thing that I'm really scared of is a grizzly bear with cubs, a mountain lion that's really hungry. Those are the things that I am scared of, and those can all be prevented. But I got chased by a bear one time, a black bear, and I didn't run. I just started barking like a dog, because where I was at, a lot of hound hunters were up there, and when they hear the dogs barking, the bears turn and go the other way. And damned if that bear, he was within 30 yards. I started barking like a dog and acting like a dog. It knew I was a human. It had to have known, but it heard dogs barking, so it turned and went the other way. So I felt that if I stood my ground and waited for this thing to come to me, it would come. I mean, I didn't yell at it and I didn't point a gun at it. Because I figured it knew what a gun was, or it might know. I didn't take my safety off. I didn't show aggression. I just turned around and said, like, here I am, come, you know, and it wouldn't do it. But then I've heard so many other stories where people have been afraid because they're more aggressive. Well, maybe this one wasn't as aggressive. Maybe it was just like, hey, it's getting to be the end of the year. You need to go home. This is my hunting area now. Leave. You know, that's kind of the way I thought of it as through the years after all this. So, and then, you know, it's going back up there with my brothers, breaking tree limbs that were up there. You know, we found those tree limbs, and they looked at me like, boy, Dave, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you kept your cool. I said, well, I'm not look, putting a radio on the outside of my shirt from now on. Because the what happened was is the clip. There's a clip. It was just an old Motorola radio, and the I didn't have it clipped in all the way. And the minute I tried to jump the creek, it flopped right out and went right into the creek. So, you know,
I think I said something to you yesterday. That is a scene right out of a horror movie. That's how the person that gets killed first.
Yeah,
gets killed first because they lose their way to communicate with everybody else. So yeah, don't.
Yeah,
make sure that is secure. But
yes.
You know, I just
that and toilet paper are the most important things when you're up there on the hill. Trust me.
Oh, there's hunting tips 101 for everybody listening. Toilet paper, get a way to communicate. Well, Dave, I am so glad that I came across your story and that you, you know, were kind enough to come on and share it with everybody. Because I'm telling you, this is one of the best, like, just sightings stories that I've heard. And I think our fans and listeners are going to agree. I mean, I think you're going to blow them away. So, and I hope anybody out there listening that does know or has had an experience in Idaho, like where did you say this? You want to say again where exactly or about where this took place? So if anybody knows of any stories, they can get a hold of us and we can pass them on to you.
Well, it would be it'd be the Sawtooth Mountains, but I guess the beginning of the Boise River. I'm sure that will let people know where I was at.
Okay. Yeah, I encourage anybody that has any kind of experience in that area or knows of anybody that did, you know, get a hold of us so we can connect you with Dave. So he knows that he's not alone, because I'm sure there's other people that have, you know, like you have come, had experiences like this and, you know, didn't for whatever reason feel comfortable coming forward and telling them, but I'm glad you did. Cause I think maybe it'll help.
I hope so. I really hope so. And I thank you for letting me talk and letting me be on here.
No, it was definitely, definitely my pleasure, Dave. So I appreciate it. And, you know, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.